Again, it's really great to have each of you here joining us for worship this morning. For our sermon time today, we're going to return to the sermon suggestion box and investigate a new topic. Now, I think it's important to remind everyone that God's holy word is rich in knowledge and the context for which one is to come to know the character of God as well as the will of God. Now, within the abundance that comes from God's holy word, many views and concepts have been used to shape faith communities for years. But I want you to know, there's a tragic side to that, and that is this. Those same views and concepts have been used to demonize, discredit, and or disapprove individuals or groups of people that have differing views and concepts. You know, as sad as it is to say, it's a repeated theme that we see throughout our Christian / Jewish heritage. There has always seemed to be a need for the people of God to have a superior knowledge or insight that has always pitted them against another group of people. Now, understanding this truth, I want everyone to know that our topic this morning could be seen as divisive due to the differing thoughts and opinions about our subject. Within the United States alone, I can tell you that there are traditions of faith as well as theological concepts that have centered themselves upon our topic. So before we begin to explore this new topic, I think it is relevant to share with all who are watching that my adolescent years of the faith have been formed by different denominations, like the Assembly of God, the Church of Christ, and the Free Will Baptist. And in the present of my faith journey, I sit here today as an ordained elder within the United Methodist Church, and as such, that allows me to be a resident theologian to a local church. Now, my faith and my personal theology has continued to grow as the result of my study of Scripture, looking at God's Word through the Wesleyan lens of theology. So as we expound upon this new sermon topic, I think it's important that you hear me this morning. I'm not speaking in reference to any denominational opinions about the topic. I'm sharing with you Michael Boland's personal theology. So by now you're probably wondering, well, what is this topic? Well, our topic via the sermon suggestion box this morning is baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want you to know that there are multiple different definitions for this phrase, where some believe that it is an experience that happens to the believer on the backside of conversion. And for those of you who are Bible scholars, you know that if you look in the book of Acts, that there are multiple accounts where that is a reality, such as in Acts chapter 1. We see that the promise of the Spirit from Christ is being fulfilled in that chapter as the Spirit is poured out upon the believers who are in the upper room. And then just in Acts chapter 2, we see on Pentecost that the Spirit of God is poured out upon all the people. And it was evidence that it was poured out upon the people as witnessed by the apostles speaking in tongues. And then we can turn over to chapter 19 in that same book. And we can read about individuals experiencing the movement of the Spirit through the laying on of hands, evident by the gifts of tongues and prophecy. Now, I think it's important to also remind you that there are a group of Christians who define the baptism of the Holy Spirit being the moment when an individual accepts the atoning work of Jesus Christ, repents of one's sins, and asks Christ to be the Lord of their lives. And that concept is supported in scriptures found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, as well as 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. Now, listen, I don't share all this just to bog us down in Bible verses. I share these concepts and these theological points to say that I believe the baptism of the Holy Spirit is part of our continuous experience of sanctification. Well, I know what it means to be delivered from a vice or a sin, I believe, instantaneously because of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I also know what it feels like to have the Spirit of God bring about a revelation just as fresh as a few days ago. So I want you to know that our remaining time together this morning will not be about us arguing over the validity, the concept, or the accuracy regarding the practice of speaking in tongues, nor will we be debating this morning as to whether or not it is scriptural that this practice of the gift of tongues is a requirement for salvation. What I want us to do today is I want you and I to look at a biblical account that I believe defines baptism of the Holy Ghost in a much different and richer way. So I want to invite all of you this morning to read with me the passage of Scripture that we're going to look at from Acts chapter 8. It's going to be a lengthy passage, nearly 20 verses, and that's why I ask that you follow along with me. Dave's going to place these verses on the screen for all of us to read along, and I'll be reading from the NIV version this morning, beginning in verse 4. Verse 4 says, "Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went, and Philip went down to a city in Samaria and proclaimed the Christ there. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in that city. Now for some time, a man named Simon, who had practiced sorcery in the city, he also was amazed, had amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great, and all the people, both high and low, gave him their attention and exclaimed that this man is the divine power known as the Great Power. They followed him because he had amazed them for a long time with his magic. But when they believed Philip as he preached the good news of the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed and was baptized. And he followed Philip everywhere, astonished by the great signs and miracles he saw. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come up on any of them, and they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying on of the hands, he offered the apostles money and said, 'Give me also this ability, so that everyone on whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit.' But Peter answered him, saying, 'May your money perish with you, because you thought you could buy the gift of God with money. You have no part or shame in this ministry, because your heart is not right before God. Repent of this wickedness and pray to the Lord, and perhaps He will forgive you for having such a thought in your heart. For I see that you are full of bitterness and captive to sin.' Then Simon answered Peter, saying, 'Pray to the Lord for me, so that nothing you have said may happen to me.' And when they had testified and proclaimed the word of the Lord, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many Samaritan villages." You know, it is our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each scriptural reading with saying, "This is the word of God for the people of God," and everyone responds, "Thanks be to God." Let us pray. Lord God, we do come this morning and we are grateful for the richness of your word and how it instructs us in our lives and how it also helps us to understand the power associated with you and what is extended to those who are your people. So Lord, I ask this morning that you will use this sermon time to touch the hearts of each one, to encourage us, to edify us, to let us see that we are equipped to do things beyond our natural abilities through the power of the Holy Spirit. Grow us this day, Lord, in the integrity and dignity of Jesus Christ, and it's in His name that I pray. Amen. You know, I hope that we all can agree from our reading this morning that when one is baptized in the Holy Spirit, it is a baptism of empowerment to be, it is a baptism of an empowerment to come. For me, this truth is easily seen in the character named Philip, as well as the community of people known as the Samaritans. In fact, I believe we could say it was even something that the character known as Simon the Sorcerer lusted after. It is also summed up, I believe, in the actions of Peter and John. Now, if you're watching this morning and you do not understand the background of our story, then let me try to sum it up with a condensed Reader's Digest version. You see, Peter, Philip, and John were Jews. And the community of people they went and ministered to were called Samaritans. So, Jews, my friends, were culturally taught to hate the Samaritans because they considered them, and this is a strong word, but if you look at any commentary, thank you, I had a brain skip there, you'll see that they use this word. They call them half-breeds because these individuals had married into Gentiles who they considered pagans and practiced pagan worship. So the Jews culturally were taught to hate the Samaritans because they considered themselves this less than human individual who had corrupted the worship of the true God. Now, part of the irony within this text is revealed through the character named John in our reading. You see, at one time in his life, he had thought that the Samaritans were only good for being burned by God's judgment. Some of you remember that is when he and his brother James, received their nickname for Jesus, known as Sons of Thunder, over in Mark chapter 3. Now, I share this with you because I hope that you can begin to feel the tension between these two groups of people. I mean, it's paramount that you begin to understand that because it sets the tone for understanding how the baptism of the Holy Spirit is defined within my understanding of this scriptural text. You see, baptism of the Holy Spirit is a baptism of empowerment to become all that God desires for one to be. I believe that it can reveal in us power to do signs and wonders that might forever alter a community. Our scripture reading details that Philip accomplished miraculous events before the onlookers by casting out demons and healing the lame. Those signs and wonders brought about confirmation of hope through Jesus Christ to a community of people who were living in despair. Now, I know that our scriptures state that Peter and John went there to pray and lay hands on the Samaritans to receive the Holy Spirit. But you see, for the Samaritans to be willing to receive a word from a Jew, remember, a person that they too were culturally taught to hate, this could only happen through the work of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you why I say that. How many of us watching this morning have family members who have no appreciation for our faith? And every time we want to share one of our faith journey experiences with those individuals, they completely shut down and become indifferent. I mean, we know that it will take a work of the Spirit of God in their hearts for them to become open and receptive to hear anything about the good news of Jesus Christ. I believe that's the same for the Samaritans in our reading this morning. The Holy Spirit was already present and working in their lives. And what John and Peter did was simply lay their hands upon them and pray over them to confirm the power that was already present and encourage them to receive that power into their lives. Receive that baptism of empowerment. Sharing this leads me to believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this passage is a twofold experience. Number one, it is something that happens at conversion or brings about a conversion experience in a person's life, evident by the Samaritans. And number two, it is also a continuous infilling of God's Spirit that continues to transform an individual from the inside out, evident by John and Peter, their willingness to minister to this group of folks. I believe baptism of the Holy Spirit is a promise from God, and it is for every believer. And I also believe that there are depths or manifestations associated with this continuous infilling of God's Spirit. So if you want to know this morning, or you want to discern where you are in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then I ask that you ponder upon these questions. Question number one. Have you grown in your love of God and neighbor? Question number two. Are you able to love a person or a group of persons that have intentionally done you harm? Question number three. Are you able to love those whom life or life experiences has taught you to hate? Question number four. Are you willing to carry a message of hope to any and all who are living in despair, despite or regardless of their race, religion, or creed? And last but not least, do you believe that you have been given the empowerment to be an agent of change for the kingdom of God? Whatever your answers are, my friends, we need to remember that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an end-all to our journey of faith, nor an end-all to our partnership with the Holy Ghost. I would say that the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the continuous infilling of God's Spirit in our hearts and lives produce milestones in our journey of faith, detailing to each of us how God is completing the good work He started in us, enabling you and I to live into the fullness of the power and the witness of the Holy Spirit. I offer this to you this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.